morning we have a speaker with us that is going to give her time. Corinne McGagan is going to come and share with us. Come on up, Corinne.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your anointing and helping me speak the words that you want me to speak. Open our eyes and open our ears to receive the word that you downloaded to me. I'm excited and nervous. So for those of you who don't know me, my name's Corinne McGagan. I usually sit in the back, and you all look like less people from behind. It's kind of a lot from up here. I'm married to James, who's in the Sunday school with the kids, and I have three beautiful children. And that's my introduction. Let's get right into it. I want you to think back. It might have been recently or 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, whenever you first got born again. And I think we probably all have a common denominator of that you just were so full of life and zeal, and the anointing was so amazing, and you just wanted to learn. You were so thirsty to learn. You were listening to things streaming online. You had the Christian channel all the time. You knew people who knew about God, and you just wanted to learn, and you felt like you almost had superpower, like you were electrified, and you would go to work, and somebody would have a problem with work, and you would, like, pray for them, like, zap, zap, I'm gonna help you with that. Like, I know this awesome God, and I just came to know him. Do you want to know him? And there was this amazing thirst, and I think, did you just turn me up? I think that as a church here, corporately, on the island, in the nation, around the globe, all of us are crying. We want that fresh anointing again so that we can have that life again and we can share that. And what Pastor Bill said, pray it and bring the kingdom onto this earth. So it's very prevalent, especially in worship songs. I'm a worshiper, so I always have worship music on in the house. You know, like, awaken our spirit. Spirits, fill us afresh. Like, we want revival. We want you, Lord. We want your presence every day. And also what Pastor Bill was talking about this morning, dying to ourselves and letting Holy Spirit come in and rule our lives so that it's God's glory that's being amplified and not just ourselves. So I strongly believe that if we do that every day and we have that overflowing of that fresh anointing, that revival can't help it but come, because we're going to be so full of it that it's going to be flowing out onto everything we touch and onto everybody we talk to. It's going to go, you know, through our cell phones to who we're praying with on the phone. It's going to be on the floor. It's going to be on the roads where we're driving, and revival will come, and it'll start in PEI, and it'll go to the rest of the nation. Okay, that was quick. I'm going to slow it down a bit. So I am a painter, and I watch a lot of movies. So whenever I feel the Lord was downloading all of this information as I was going through the Bible, I picture either a movie scene or a painting. So I'm going to illustrate it to you so that you can kind of see where I'm coming from. I'm going to be talking about the armor of God and how that revival can come on us every day if we put it on every morning when we wake up. And My vision, I guess you could say, is there was a lot of soldiers in a huge bunker, like ginormous. There was probably 300 plus that I could see. It was dark. It was raining. And they were all sleeping, you know, like their hands were half off the bed. And they were dreaming about something excellent because they were in a deep sleep. And their drill sergeant came in, who I believe is the Lord, slammed the door open, turned on the lights, and said, there's a battle out there, and you're waking up, and we're going to move, and we're going to win it. You know, like, move, 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 like they do in the movies or whatever. And everyone kind of got up and, okay, like, let's go out there. So I feel like that's us. That's God is telling us, if you want revival, get up and let's go, because it's here upon you. The battle is there. Let's do it. And I find that encouraging, not a negative. I'm ready. So I'm going to put on my armor and I'm going to show you my revelation of it, and it's going to be great. Okay. So as soldiers in the army of God, and that's what we're called to be, is soldiers in his army, it's very important to know who your enemy is. You know, I'm thinking of Top Gun, whenever the commanding officer takes them into the strategic planning room and all the pilots are taking notes and they have the map and they're saying, you know, this is where our enemy is. This is what he plans to do. You as pilots, you're going to go do this, this, and this, and that's how we're going to defeat him. So as Christians, we need to recognize our enemy is the devil. It's Satan. He's the father of lies. He tries to disguise himself as an angel of light. He tries to find any weakness he can, and he just doesn't play by the rules. But we also need to know that not only do we have an enemy, but he also has weaknesses. And guess what it is? He's not God. and God defeated him. And what he uses as tactics to try to defeat us, it's all just smoke and mirrors. And we need to find our authority and say, we're going to keep our foot on your neck, and you can't do that to me. And we're going to rise our faith, and we're going to become victorious, and it's going to be awesome. Okay, next paragraph. So just in a paragraph that I wrote whenever I was first starting my notes, which I think is important, is that we need to come against a spirit of complacency. We need to kind of be stirred up in ourselves and as a body to do the things of the Lord and win the battle so our faith will grow, and we will help those around us cultivating testimonies and gathering new recruits into the army of God. So I asked for there to be an overhead projection. This has been on the internet for quite a while. But it always stuck with me of a photojournalist, and I don't even know who it is. I didn't do a lot of research on it, but they took a picture of soldiers before, during, and after the deployment in Afghanistan. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but it's very evident and obvious that they start to look very weary, and they start to look very defeated, and almost there's like almost a sadness. And they left Afghanistan before it was completed, so they didn't finish. They didn't have that feeling of victory. And I want to say, and as a side note, just one side note, I hope, in this whole talk that I'm giving, we need to be praying for the soldiers that are deployed currently. There's so much going on in the world, in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Israel, and Syria, and Egypt. Those soldiers, men and women alike, need God's strength, and they need to come to know God, and they need glory and courage and strength so that they won't look defeated like that. And so off of that side note, that's not us. We're in the army of God, and his glory shines on our face. Just like whenever Moses came out of Mount Sinai and people almost couldn't look at him because he was so radiant with God's presence because he talked to the Lord. As I talk about putting on the army of God, I talk about having Holy Spirit with you every day. So instead of our before and after picture looking like that, it's going to look like we were on a makeover story. People are going to be like, now what do you do different? Okay? So, and another side note that I'm sure that you've all made this connection before, but it was a first time for me, and it was kind of like an aha moment. Pastor Bill was talking about God's glory and going on the Confederation Trail and your glory, Lord, come to PEI. And every time I think about God's glory, I think of his radiance and his majesty and his honor, and it's always in worship. You want that thick presence of the Lord to come down. And another meaning for the word glory is victory. So we want God's victory to come onto PEI. We want God's victory to come onto us because we are not defeated. We are victorious in Jesus' name. So let's start talking about the armor of God, okay? Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. It's a lot, but we're going to dissect it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. That's one. With the breastplate of righteousness in place, that's two. And with your feet fitted, they have to fit, with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, that's three. In addition to all this, take up your shield of faith, which is four, which is one of my favorites, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, which is five, and the sword of the Spirit, which is six, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Okay, so let's get into it. The belt of truth. It makes perfect sense. You put your belt on first because you don't want to trip over your pants whenever you're in the battlefield. Okay? And it's not so much a protection, it's a tool. It's kind of like a tool belt. And the belt of truth is the spirit of truth. And this was a big one for me. Doug Snyder was here. I don't know if it was a year or two ago. You know, I've had a lot of kids, and my mind kind of goes fuzzy sometimes. But he had a revelation that he shared on the Holy Spirit, and Bill caught on to it, and he calls it Holy Spirit. His first name is Holy, and his last name is Spirit. He's not this far-off concept that's hard to grasp. He's right there. He's your best friend, your confidant. He navigates for you. He does whatever he can to help. And God tells us in the armor, you put him on first. Whenever you wake up in the morning and need to put your belt on, you say, Holy Spirit, like what they said in that song, I lay myself down and I hold on to your arm, and we're locked in for this all day. I want to know what you want me to do, and I'm going to follow what Holy Spirit tells me to do. I'm getting dry. In Scripture, John 16, 12 to 15-ish, or maybe 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears from God, and he will tell you what is yet to come, which I find is so encouraging, thinking of this battlefield that we're on a daily basis. I'm thinking of that, I don't know if he would be called an officer, but he's got the backpack with the antenna and like the amazing radio or telephone or whatever it is, and he's on the battlefield, but he's the one who calls up for air support or to be lifted out or for an airstrike or these are our coordinates, where do we go from here? That's Holy Spirit, and you're the soldier that's fighting beside him, and he's saying, okay, the Lord's telling us, go this way, or the Lord's sending an airstrike in front of you, so it's okay to go that way, or okay, we need out of this situation, thanks. God's going to, lift us out of here. So it's so encouraging to know that Holy Spirit helps in our weaknesses, and he has a direct line to God. And it says in the scripture, he's not going to tell you what he wants to tell you on his own. It's directly from God. So whenever you're on the battlefield, I think that we need to remember that. So belt, Holy Spirit, that's one. The breastplate of righteousness, is like our modern-day bulletproof vest, and it protects a vital organ, our heart. So the breastplate of righteousness isn't having self-righteousness. It's about having God's righteousness over you, protecting you from the enemy. And we need to protect that. We need to keep God's righteousness on us so that we kind of stand out against the world and what the world thinks. So being righteous, it says in the dictionary, is to have ethical conduct. Someone who is guiltless is righteous. So I'm going to stick with ethical conduct or integrity, having a moral compass, if you will. It's so important to keep that. Protect these traits that are essential to being a good soldier. Your integrity will protect you. And I know my mom has said a lot over the years, like, you know, if you do something sinful or displeasing in the eyes of God, it opens the door. It opens the door to the enemy. And in a military point of view, if you do something displeasing in the eyes of God that you know that is against what he would say is his righteousness or your integrity, it's going to weaken your defense system. And the enemy is waiting to see that weakness and just dive right in. So we really need, as a body of Christ, to try to keep our integrity. And I'm going to give a little example of this, and I mean little. My husband is an oyster fisherman, and in the spring, I'm alone a lot because he works such long hours, and I would tuck the three kids into bed and give them their bath, and I did supper all by myself, boo-hoo. And in the evening, I needed me time, so I would turn on a show on Netflix and fold the laundry. It wasn't a good show. It was just something that I didn't have to flick through the channels and try to find. Sometimes I find the news is such a downer, so I wanted to just watch something that was funny. And soon thereafter, our four-year-old, who is so outgoing, and if I dropped her off at somebody's house, she'd be like, okay, see you next week. I don't need you. She started getting terrified to the point where she would be eating breakfast, and I would go into the bathroom to go to the bathroom, and she'd start bawling. Where are you going? Why are you leaving me in here? Why are you leaving me by myself? And I was thinking, that's not Nora. Like, what happened to you? So I talked to my husband, and I talked to my mom, and I talked to my stepmom, and my stepmom, no, my mother-in-law. That was not intentional. Oh, anyway, sort of, I guess. Two moms. And of course, they were all saying, you know, like, come against the spirit of fear, like the enemy is trying to get at her. So of course, you know, it was like, I command you, spirit of fear, to get out of this house, and don't you touch anyone on the way out. You get out of here, blah, blah, blah. And I really feel, and I'm convinced of this, that Holy Spirit said to me, stop watching that show at night. And I was thinking, no, That can't be right. You know, it's not a scary show, and it's for me, and I deserve to watch a show at night, okay? So I mentioned it to my husband, and I said, do you think that was just me being paranoid, or do you think that was really, like, God telling me to stop watching it? And he was like, yeah, probably. So I stopped. I said, like, because the enemy doesn't play by the rules, right? Maybe I was doing something that wasn't full of integrity, and instead of attacking me, he attacked my four-year-old. That's not fair. So I want to, you know, stomp on his neck. So I stopped watching it, and I asked for forgiveness, and guess what? She got better. So that's a small example of, you know, keeping integrity. And one point that I want to make, even though it was small, catch the battles when they're small before they're huge, right? If we're listening to Holy Spirit every day and that still small voice is kind of picking at you a little bit, catch it, okay? So that's that. And the scripture I have to go with that is Philippians 8:9, because it goes really nicely into the next one. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Consume your thoughts with those good things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And so the next piece of armor that we're putting on is the shoes of peace. So that kind of segues really well into each other. And as I was reading that, I was thinking, why shoes of peace? You know, like, why not shoes of destruction? That would be awesome. You know, like, why do we have to have peace, and why is it on our feet? That seems odd. But I really felt that the Lord said to me, you need to be grounded in peace when you go out to battle. You know, kind of like a kung fu type, you know. But you need to know who you are in God. You need to know who he is in you. And the opposite of peace is fear. You can't go into a battle with fear, because you're going to have tunnel vision and you're not going to see the bigger picture, and you might not want to even turn, or you'll be too scared to move because you're just not sure. So we need to hold on to the peace that surpasses all understanding, so that whenever people see that you're having a trial in your life and you have peace about it, they're going to say, wow, you're strangely calm about this. And you say, yeah, because I've got God, and I know that I'm going to get through this. And another example I have of that, and you guys are really going to make fun of me for this, I'm not a good swimmer, and I hate the beach. And I live on PEI. So I shouldn't say I hate it. It's beautiful, but I'm not like a creepy crawler, crabs and crabgrass type person. And whenever I was probably around 8, I went to the beach with my friend and her mom and her mom's friend, and there was a bunch of us there. And my mom had a rule, you know, stay pretty shallow because you can't save your own life. And I was like, okay, I will. And the tide was out, so we had to walk a pretty far ways out to get up to our thighs in water. And, you know, the girls would be like, let's sit on the bottom and pretend we're having a tea party. And I'd say, okay. And the tide started coming in. And, of course, it's not rushing in like a tsunami, but I'm not a good swimmer. So I'm thinking, okay, I need to start making my way back. And it seemed like miles away because I was so little. And, you know, you get into the in between the sandbars, and there's lots of little hermit crabs and crabgrass, and I didn't have my beach shoes on, and I was like, okay, where am I going to go? And it seemed to kind of surround me, and I was trying to look for the sandiest places to make sure I wouldn't stand on something that was going to cut my foot, and I couldn't find any, and I started to get really scared. And my fear of going forward was greater than my fear of the deep water coming that I couldn't swim in. And I must have been there for a long time, because my friend's mom's friend came out and got me and carried me back. So, phew, thank God for that. But if I would have had my beach shoes on, I would have been able to plow right through there and practically run. If I stepped on a crab on the way, it wouldn't have hurt me, right? And I wouldn't have been afraid of where to go. So we need to pray every day for God's peace to be on us, so that we can go where he wants us to go, and we don't need to have fear, and we'll have trust in him, because we have a peace of him being in us and directing us and where to go. Yes. Okay, I'm going to take a sip of water. I'll try not to spill it because I'm so shaky. Okay, so the next is the shield of faith. Ah, it's my favorite. Because faith is something that has to grow continually. It's not just something you can say, I have faith, and be done with it. Scripture says all the time, faith comes by hearing, and hearing with the Word of God, and we're continually told to continually read the Word of God. It's our daily bread. We need to be involved in it every day. And thinking about all of these pieces of armor and tools that God gives us, I want to ask the question, how big is your shield? You know, is usually there's a part to hang on to, and it kind of, your arm fits into it. So, you know, you put your arm up to deflect whatever. Is it just like a tin can, rinky-dink little thing that whenever it comes, you're thinking, okay, I'm just going to throw it and run because it's not doing me any good? Or, and this is what I want to strive for, is it this big, heavy honker that you can kind of just sit it down so it's touching the ground and it goes over your head? So whenever the devil starts, you're going, I'm good. Try all you want. You know? So we need to build our faith. And not only does faith come by hearing the Word of God and, you know, learning things and reading it in books or on the internet or whatever, just learning things about God. It comes from our community. You know, it comes from each other. You know, you have a testimony of seeing somebody healed. That's awesome. You pray with me for this because I need healing in this, and I have faith that your prayer is going to work because it worked for you before. And then once that victory comes, then you can do it yourself. Da, 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 da. So, and in anything, you know, we need to cling on to each other and listen to each other's testimonies and build our faith together. You know, brothers in arms or comrades on the battlefield, you're not just deflecting for yourself. If you see somebody who has a little shield and you have this big honker, I call it, run over to them and say, here, use my faith to help protect you. I'll pray with you. I'll help you get through this. And then we'll have a testimony and we'll stomp on the devil's neck some more. And other people will be like, yeah, let's get into this army. It's seems like they always win, which is really good. Okay, next. Did I miss one? Am I on? Oh, the helmet of salvation. Got it. Which, pun intended, is a no-brainer because it protects your brain. The helmet of salvation is such an awesome gift of God. He has literally saved us from the enemy. So I picture our helmet as being gold, okay? It's not a crown. It's like a gold helmet. And that is where the enemy tries to look for our weaknesses the most. Because not only is it the central control system to our bodies, telling our hearts to beat and telling our hands to move and, you know, how to put on our shoes and our belt of truth and everything else, it also is where our thoughts are, which is, I don't know if it's just because I'm a woman, but when I think too much, it's not pretty. Sometimes if I'm alone for a while, Jim will come home and he'll say, you were thinking too much today. So, okay, it's not that funny. No, I'm just joking. So we need to hang on to our salvation and ask the Lord to renew our minds so that we're not thinking about things that make us worry. Because I know for me, if I'm going to worry, it's the worst thing first. And I don't want to think that way. I want to have trust in God and think best case scenario all the time and be optimistic and full of joy. That's my goal. So, he literally saved us. And we need to keep our minds focused on God because the devil really tries to lie to you and tell you that you're defeated and that you can't do it. And we need to say, yes, I can, because through God, all things are possible. And I'm not going to give up on my salvation. I'm not going to wave my white flag of surrender because I am saved through Christ and I can do it. So that's important. Keep your gold helmet on all the time. Don't get a concussion. And one thing that I wanted to say about the shield of faith, I totally forgot, and it's one of my favorite parts. That big honker of a shield, it protects even your armor. So your faith can protect your relationship with Holy Spirit. It can protect your peace and being grounded in the Lord. It can protect him trying to get into your mind and mess you up. So your faith is really important. So I encourage you, you know, faith on your own is great, but grab onto somebody who can help you build your faith and you can help each other, because we just, We just want to have the biggest shields ever. That's basically it. Okay, and so lastly, the sword of the Spirit. This is great. Okay, so God gives us one weapon. He gave us lots of things to protect ourselves and one tool belt, and he gives us one weapon. We don't need to open the trunk of a car and look at all the, you know, all the guns and machetes and be like, okay, like, I'm going to choose this, this, and this. He says, this is all you need. It's light, it's balanced, it conforms to fit your hand. This is specifically for you, and that's all you need. It says in the word, you know, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. And it divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is so precise. Dividing joints and marrow now in surgery, I'm pretty sure they need a laser so that they're not disturbing the rest of what's there. And this word, look at my Bible. Anyway, this word is the greatest weapon we will ever hold, ever. And what I love about God putting it in our hand, it is literally and physically tangible. And he says, don't be fooled and just read it. Do it. Use your weapon. You can defend yourself against the enemy, but I'm telling you, use it against him because I gave it to you. So just do it. And another thing that I love about the word, it's so solid. You know, I can read things on the internet from somebody who seems to have good credentials, but if they say something that kind of, you know, like, do I believe that? Lord, show me discernment. Tell me if that's from you or if that was just them talking. You don't have to second guess this. It is what it is. Accept it. Use it. Move on to the next thing, you know? So I love that it's so solid. You just read it and drink it in and great, downloaded. Let's go. So that's all the armor to put on. And I really feel that if we have the Holy Spirit and that fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit on us and we ask him to be there every day and we're solid and we're continually asking for increase of faith, increase of peace, increase of the truth, that we will not have a choice but overflowing that onto everybody that we know and everyone that we see, whether we know them or not. And a good visual and going, you don't have to put it up, but just going back to the picture of a before and after of a soldier now, we're going to have the zeal and the zest and the passion of a new recruit, but we're going to have all the knowledge and wisdom and patience of a veteran. That makes such a good soldier. And that's what we have. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you're feeling defeated, ask the Lord for a fresh anointing of his joy, you know? And it's another thing, you know, like our faces are going to be shining and we're going to be laughing and have peace and people are going to think like, what is up with you, you know? And we're going to be laughing at the devil while we're defeating him and putting our shoes of peace nicely on his neck, just saying like, haha, you tried, but whatever. Smoke and mirrors don't work on us anymore. So I want to leave you with two scriptures that I had kind of like a painting visual in my mind that I find are very encouraging. Psalm 18:32-38. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I like that, destroyed. I crushed them so that they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. And an illustration of that, how it says, you made my feet like a deer. I could stand on the heights. I could be up on a mountain. You broaden the path beneath me. I picture God being a sniper on the battlefield. I don't know if they call it like a pigeon something, or they're up somewhere high where they can see a really wide terrain in front of them and where their people are going to be. And they have a specific sniper rifle that is very precise. And their shot is precise. That's what they're trained for. That's all they do. They time the humidity. They time the wind. They know how to take the shot within their breath and their heartbeat. It's precise. You don't have to double guess if that bullet's going to shoot to kill, because it does. And God is saying, I've made a way for you to walk in the battlefield, and you can even be up high, and you might not know what's going on around you, but I'm the sniper, and I've got your back, so don't be afraid to go out there. Amen. And finally, Psalm 91, which is always a fan favorite. In verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. So it could be because my grandfather was in the Air Force. Pilots always have feathers, the wings, to show that they're a pilot. And in that, it's like not only is he our sniper on the battlefield, he's the airstrike, the impending airstrike, so that if we're running down there and maybe we don't see what's to our side and, you know, we're asking for the Lord to show us whatever, he's saying, I can defeat your enemy because I'm up here in the sky watching over you. So be encouraged. I'm really excited about this. I hope I didn't talk too fast or stumble over my words. But I encourage you, as I'm going to try to do, put on your armor every day so that whenever you're listening to the Holy Spirit and whenever you're listening to God, you won't have to second guess anymore. Was that me? Or was that God? You'll know. And one thing that I kind of skipped over with putting on the helmet of salvation is in Romans 2:12-2, do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and is good and acceptable and perfect. So as we put our armor on, like the more we get used to it, the more we're going to know the will of God. Yes, please. Why not? So let's do it. The end. Amen. Amen. Okay.
That was a mouthful. That was good. Very good. That was great. There's so many things that we could share from that. The enemy, one of the things that I caught when she was talking about how the enemy has nothing more but smoke and mirrors to work with us. If we're in a place of fear, he's just using smoke and mirrors, trying to get you into a place of fear, trying to use something to get you into a place where you're out of peace, as Corinne talked about. He wants to get us out of peace and into fear, so he uses smoke and mirrors. In other words, he speaks things into your mind that if you think about them over and over and over again, the fearful thoughts, guess what they produce? Fear. Your peace begins to be eroded. And so you want to get that back just like that. That was a great word, Corinne.